No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this July 13th, 2017. I'm David Brown. Happy Thursday, one and all. What you're about to hear is not going to be politically correct. But getting politics out of the picture may be just the medicine needed on a day when the Senate GOP leaders reveal another attempt at repealing and replacing Obamacare. As we hit the airwaves on this Thursday, the details of the latest Senate plan have not been released. But if past is prologue, we can already say two things about this proposal. Number one, there will be a bipartisan split so profound that politics will subsume most of the coverage and conversation about health care. And number two, what's likely to be missing? What to do to address the underlying problem? The issue that's got us talking about this is a crisis in the first place. Health care simply costs too much for the status quo to be sustainable. $1.6 trillion spent on personal health care costs in the United States. And look, it's worse than individuals not being able to pay for the coverage they need. Nothing hits the nation's bottom line more than the cost of health care. Even if the Senate plan were to win enough political support, until you deal with the issue of costs, nearly every expert tells us, we're going to be back to the same place in no time. So now what? Well, let's try something. Let's try to take politics off the table. We have asked four Texans who understand medicine and where the money goes to give us four separate prescriptions. We're going to first turn to Seth Chandler, health law professor, University of Houston Health Law and Policy Institute. Dr. Chandler, if you had one thing you could recommend to lower the cost of health care in this country, what would that one thing be?
I'd like to reform our laws on pharmaceutical pricing. This is a government-created problem. We've created 20-year patents. We have a cumbersome regulatory approval process that doesn't take the cost of these drugs or their comparative effectiveness into account. We've got laws that basically prohibit pharmaceutical manufacturers from offering low prices to individuals. We've got regimes where consumers can't buy drugs from other countries, and so a source of competition is eliminated. We've just got a large government-created problem here, which is resulting in a $400 billion a year spending on pharmaceuticals that's growing at 10% per year, and that's really unsustainable.
Are you suggesting anything like price caps?
Price caps would not be my favorite solution to it. I'd rather do things like reforming the laws on purchasing of pharmaceuticals, of improving the regulatory process, of permitting more drugs to go over the counter. I think there are steps other than price caps that might do the job.
The biggest buyer of pharmaceuticals in the world, perhaps, but certainly in the U.S., is the U.S. government. If you allow this sort of negotiation to take place, aren't you in a way hamstringing the pharmaceutical companies? There's no question that there's greed in the industry, but at the same time, it costs $2.6 billion to develop a single drug. And over the course of 10 years, if now we're going to be talking about negotiating in that marketplace, are we not talking about the possibility that life-saving drugs might not be developed because the R&D isn't being done?
Yes. I think we have to acknowledge that there is some remote possibility that some drug somewhere might not be developed if pharmaceutical manufacturers couldn't gouge the government. However, there are drugs right now that people aren't getting because they can't afford them. That is a consequence of our refusal to take a little tougher line on the pharmaceuticals. And that's why I'm saying there is a middle ground here which would permit the pharmaceutical industry to make a profit, to do its research, but that would cost less to the American government and the American people to provide medications.
That's Seth Chandler of the University of Houston Health Law and Policy Institute. For a second idea, we head out west. Dr. Richard Lang is president of Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center of El Paso and dean of the Paul L. Foster School of Medicine. Dr. Lang, give us one thing we need to do that could put a lid on rising healthcare costs.
It would be to set in place a mechanism to do what I'm going to call cost-effective analysis of the healthcare we're getting. You know, as you're aware, our healthcare costs are about double most places in the world. But the question is, are we getting the quality of healthcare? And the answer is not. What we have done is we've compared different types of therapy, what are called comparative effectiveness studies, but we haven't done cost effectiveness studies. And that is, are we getting value for the money we're putting in?
Well, when you say the value, how are we going to begin to assess the value of that healthcare that's being provided? Because at the end of the day, an individual wants to be free of the disease, they want to be healed, they want to be cured, or they want their life to be saved. That's priceless.
Well, absolutely. And so you can either gauge it by the quantity, how much longer you live, or the quality, what is the quality of life. There's a good model for this actually across the pond. And that is, the United Kingdom has what's known as the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence. And what that country has done is they've composed an independent, nonpartisan, science-based national commission that's really free from political influence, and it's funded on a long-term basis, but they actually do a cost-effective analysis for any therapy. So they're not using imaging that's not successful. They're not using more expensive drugs that don't enhance the quality or quantity of life. They're not recommending therapies that don't make people either feel better or live longer.
But it sounds to me like if this commission doesn't believe the therapy is worth it, it's not going to be available. For an individual who's facing a life-threatening condition, that puts them in a box. It seems to me there would be enormous ethical issues.
Well, what the commission needs to do, if it's nonpartisan and science-based, It actually needs the authority to recommend coverage and reimbursement policies that are in the best interest of the public. I can tell you right now, there are many therapies that are out there and many things that we're doing that really aren't beneficial. Some of them are screening things that really don't help. But let me give you an example, a routine EKG before routine surgery. It costs money, but it's never been shown to improve the outcome as well. There are medications that are more expensive than current medications that really don't improve the quality or quantity of life. And a commission like this would be able to make recommendations in the public interest that are science-based and nonpartisan.
That is Dr. Richard Lang, president of Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center of El Paso. For a third idea, we're going to turn to Vivian Ho, director of the Center for Health and Biosciences at Rice University's Baker Institute for Public Policy. What's your one idea?
We need to do a much better job at informing patients of the prices of the services that they're going to be receiving. One example of that is the work we've been doing on freestanding emergency departments here in Texas. The legislature made a good step starting in September. They're going to require freestanding emergency departments to inform patients whether they're in or out of network for their insurance policy, and so that will determine the price and the coverage. But I think it would be helpful if the legislature would go further than that and require these freestanding emergency departments to report and post the prices they pay when you walk through the door, through the paperwork that they initially give to patients. So right now they will inform you that they charge a facility fee, but most Texans don't know what a facility fee is. Mm-hmm. Well, those facility fees can easily cost $1,000 or more. So a patient's going to think a lot differently if they walk in and say, well, we can treat you, we're going to charge a facility fee, and that fee for us is $800 or $1,200. Mm-hmm. That gives the patient the option to think, is this really serious? Am I willing to pay this much, or should I, go down a couple of blocks and look for an urgent care center to see if they can treat me instead?
But Professor Ho, people don't really know, I think it's safe to say, how to compare prices, do they? I mean, even if they did get a fee schedule, how could you compare apples to apples? What's the hospital offering? Well, if you don't have something similar there, you're sort of out of luck.
It turns out both hospital emergency departments and freestanding emergency departments can charge you a facility fee. An urgent care center does not charge you a facility fee, so you know you're going to be paying a lower price there if you go to those types of facilities. And very often you can be treated for the same conditions. Actually, from what we've seen, 15 of the top 20 diagnoses are the same at freestanding emergency departments and urgent care centers.
That's Vivian Ho, director of the Center for Health and Biosciences at Rice University's Baker Institute for Public Policy. Finally, we turn to Michael Morrissey, Health Policy and Management Department Head at Texas A&M. One big idea to drive down costs.
I'd say change the tax treatment of employer-sponsored health insurance. Currently, workers get money wages and health insurance, or at least many of them do. The money wages are taxed, the health insurance isn't, and so that gives employers and workers an incentive to say, we'd like to have more of our compensation in the form of health insurance, somewhat less in terms of money wages because we save on taxes that way. But as a consequence, that means that we have health insurance that's broader and deeper, we as workers. And that means there's sometimes as little as a $20 copay to visit a physician. The physician gets paid perhaps $100. With the elimination of the special tax treatment, that would encourage us to say, we as workers, to say, what we'd like to have now is more money wages, somewhat less generous health insurance. And so we would have coverage that has a bigger deductible, or maybe it has a $50 copay. Mm-hmm. And at a $50 copay, as a worker, I'm inclined to say, well, you know, my throat hurts, but maybe I'll feel better in the morning and not visit the doc. For a $20 copay, I'm there this afternoon.
But from the standpoint of an individual worker, these health care plans are real compensation. And there's no guarantee that if you get rid of this incentive for that health care plan to be provided, well, employers aren't going to necessarily increase cash wages to offset the loss of their tax deduction.
Well, it's the workers' tax deduction that we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
They're the ones who aren't paying income and payroll taxes.
Right, but eliminating this tax deduction.
But your point is well taken with respect to employers. They won't necessarily make the switch, but workers are just as productive the day after, you know, my proposal goes into effect as they were the day before. And employers have to pay workers what they're worth, or they tend to go to work for somebody else. And that suggests that you know, market forces would drive money wages up, even as it reduced the generosity of the health insurance plans.
It's Michael Morrissey, health policy specialist at Texas A&M and College Station. Four ideas to deal with the elephant in the room. For the next few days, at least, we can expect to hear a lot about the politics of repealing and replacing Obamacare. But what can we do to reverse the death spiral of the rising cost of health care? Joining us in the studio, Wells Dunbar, social media editor. How can Texans weigh in on this?
We're hearing from folks, and they can reach out to us right now. We are on Twitter at Texas Standard and on Facebook at facebook.com/Texas Standard. I'll be back with those reactions later in the show.